Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. And then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet, girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace. His voice is the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun, shining in its strength. The Christ of heaven is what I just read that was described by John as he saw a vision of Jesus Christ in the midst of his lampstands. And if you continue to read, you discover that each stand represents a church. I like to think of that way, of Jesus walking in the midst of his churches, each one, lampstands, light spots. It reflects the earlier analogy of Matthew chapter 5, where he tells us in the Sermon on the Mount, you are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden. And he goes on to say, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket. That doesn't make sense. But rather, where do they put it? They put it on a lampstand so that it gives light to all who are in the house. So let your light shine, that the world, that the others might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We are literally a light distribution center. Every church. If you probably have seen some of those satellite photos where they take pictures of nighttime and the lights that are emanating from our different countries, you know, and when you get around the big cities like Orlando, it's bright and then it kind of fades away and because there are lesser lights and so on and so forth. If you will, just take out all of those lights. Let's just have a power failure. And let's just light every little light of mine of every church that preaches the gospel across the world. I would love to see that picture. Because in all reality, we are all lampstands as individual churches. The analogy is given to us, but there seems to be more than analogy. There seems to be reality to it as James sees it in the book of Revelation. Folks, we are one of those lampstands. We have been shining our light. We've been this group of forgiven sinners, of whom I am chief. Forgiven. We have been the church called Woodbridge Baptist Church, also called the body of Christ here. Meaning that we have been His representatives here in Central Florida. We've been a lampstand that shines. Some of the more particular times, it shines at 9 o'clock Sunday mornings, where some of us came together faithfully and gathered Sometimes it was up in this corner. Often it's been back in the kitchen area. Praying. Lampstands. We're shining from the standpoint of giving ourselves. Wednesday nights, where from the very get-go, we decided that Wednesday night we wouldn't tack prayer on to a Bible study, but we would tack a Bible study onto prayer. And we didn't do either. We didn't tack, period. We did pretty good, I think, on both ends. Just of storming the throne. A lampstand. He asked us to pray. He said, pray without ceasing. And many of you have grasped that and grabbed that. And we're a people of prayer and watched God do special things. We watched God save people. We watched God renew relationship. We watched God heal people. We watched God deliver people out of just some of their, the depths of some of their difficulties of life. How? Not because we were some incredible counseling service. No, we prayed. And the lamp was lit and God worked. We shine as a lamp stand by. Still in my mind as I thought through the week, writing letters. We wrote letters to people across the sea that are sitting in a prison cell for the cause of Jesus Christ. And we got to write to them, thankfully in English. But it would be translated for them, I'm sure, after they saw the originals, to say, we are praying for you, my brother, my sister in Christ, and encouraging them. We were a light to people that you don't know and that they don't know us, but we are the body. And so we shone. We wrote letters to our whole community. We drew a circle. Where's my circle guy? I see his wife, but I don't see Eric. But anyway, and we said everybody within that confines is going to get a postcard. One Easter, you remember, some of you? And there were just writer's cramps like crazy. Wrote to personal letters to all the people that live within a, how many miles was it? Was it a mile? I don't remember. It was a lot. All I remember is, this is crazy. You know, I'm so thankful for copy machines. But we wanted it to be personal. And so we did. We shone lights. Showed lights one year by what we had called a garage adventure. Do you remember what this church looked like that day? All the seats were gone. And this was the little Walmart right here. And then out into the parking lot. And folks had given. You had given so much. And people from Tri-County gave. And remember what we did? Just as people walked in, expecting a garage sale, a fundraiser for the church, what did we do? We turned around and said, you know, God has given so much to you, we give it to you. Oh no, oh no, we got to pay for this. Oh, I'm so glad you said that, because that was exactly what we wanted to hear, because then we could share with them the gospel. You know what? I appreciate you wanting to give, but that is so exactly what the world says today. When Jesus wants to give his free gifts of life, all we want to ever do is just simply to say, I got to do something for it. I got to do something for it. And Jesus keeps saying, it's done. It's done. It's done. It's free. It's grace. It's for you. All you need to do is receive it. It's a gift. And I remember people walking away in tears. Number one, because we're able to lavish on some of those single moms and people that were in great need, that they, and we had good stuff. I remember saying to you, I was kind of a, let's just say it nicely, I was a grumpy pastor and said, we want good stuff. We don't want any, you know, junk. We really want good stuff. And you did. We had nice things. And people were able to walk away with their arms filled with things they could use, things that were for their children. We shone a light to Wildwood in the community on what we called a garage adventure. It was probably one of my favorite times. To watch our lampstand. Christmas times, I remember shining our light down in the nursing home. And walking into rooms and looking at some of you folks with your little Santa hats and Paul's blinky blinky thing. And walking through the hallways and singing at least one time we did it with violins. And you ever see a violin walk backwards as it plays Deck the Halls or whatever, you know, through those hallways, carrying music stands, walking into rooms this last year. One guy, he wants you to come and sing, so we went and sing another one, and okay, sing it. We can't. Oh, sing another one. And what do? And somebody just keeps hollering at you. You obey. Shining the light. We had our own Paul and Jean that ended up doing it every week and just ministering in that place and shining God's light. That's what we do. You see, we're a church. We're a lampstand. And we were shining God's light. Speaking of Christmas, who can forget Grant and John and marshmallows and sisters? Okay, and 12 days of Christmas and all the fun that we enjoyed. Remember those tasty foods? And Matt, so good to see you. Kat, Rumlin, doing all this work, actually, that we've used now all these years. Why? To shine a light of the treasure of Christ. That's what we did. We had fun doing it. The Coopers turned this place into a, I don't know what you call it. It was really decked out. It was a decked hall. But why? To shine light. Shine light. To invest in our community for the glory of God. We never, I think I can say this in honesty and in good conscience, that we never did any of those things to try to move ourselves forward, but to glorify God. To give God His glory. And there are lots of other things I know I've missed, but those are the ones that came to my mind first. You know, we are one of those lampstands. We are shining lights. We have become a band of joyful practitioners of the Bible, studying. I have, as a man, I have had you men in study now for a number of weeks or years, actually, on Wednesdays. And my high point is the study on grace, and watching you change. And watching you not only change up here and maybe having a little more ammunition so that when we say, what's the definition of grace, you turned it into your life. And that was exactly the point. To watch you in grace reach out to people that you didn't do before because you had a different understanding of what Jesus has done for you and what He has done for them. We've become joyful, I like that word, practitioners of the Bible. We've spoken His word many, many times, shining God's light that way. We've also put our money where our mouth is. We've shared God's love as He would have done, we think, if He were here physically. We've shared it. We've built one another up according to our purpose, honoring God and loving people. We're one of those lampstands. And as you can see already, this isn't one of my normal messages. In all honesty, we find ourselves here on the last day, and I really had a hard time this week trying to decide what to tell you. I've never had to do this before. I'm lost for words in some ways to share with you. But I believe God gave me one thing to share with you as we would finish this, and that is that we are a limited edition. Woodbridge Baptist Church as a lampstand, but we are a limited edition lampstand. Which, what? It's a time, some of you have limited edition collections. Time-sensitive entities, they're supposed to grow in value as a treasure because you don't make them anymore. They throw away the mold. And you know, there's some things about Woodbridge, I hope they did throw away the mold. But then there's other things about Woodbridge that will go on because it's not stopping here. Floyd, you said it quite well in your prayer this morning as we prayed at 9. You know, this isn't the church. You are the church. And that church moves and goes further. Actually, the whole church is limited edition. Why? We had a beginning, started in Acts chapter 2. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15 and 16, it says there seems to be an ending there, an unplanned, I say unplanned, it's unplanned by people, but a unscheduled event, and Jesus is going to come and meet His church in the air, and He's going to take them to where He is. We are His treasure. We are His bride. We are a limited edition. There's only so long, and then that church is done. I don't think that there's going to even be time, if I read 1 Thessalonians correctly, for a closing service. To say, you don't do that, you don't stop the church. Well, guess what? Jesus has a clout. And He is going to take His bride to meet Him in the air. So there is a sense in which definitely we are all limited. But ours is limited in that our lifespan seems to be shorter than we supposed. But we've been here in God's will for such a time as this. Some of you have been here for 5 years. Some of you have been here for 5 weeks. But we've been here for such a time as this, and God has used Woodbridge for all of you that way, and potentially still for others who really don't know it yet. We do not know that the things that we have learned over the last 5 years and the things that have happened to us over the last 5 years, where that is going to go over the next 5. And that God can use just us in an incredible way. So I leave you with this. As I asked and I seeked and I knocked for God, God, what can I tell our Woodbridge family? And I have to just tell you what God told me to do for myself. And it's pretty simple, but it's pretty big too. It is this. Do the first things first. Do the first things first. Our Bible has some firsts in it. One of them is actually tied into Revelation 1 where we started. There's a church in Ephesus, and one of it's actually said negatively. Jesus said to that church, even though they were really on the ball, He said, I've got something against you. You've left your first love. And may I encourage you, as I believe God encouraged me, David, don't lose your first love. As a matter of fact, don't even talk about don't lose your first love, but get on with your first love. It's interesting, if you think about first love, when you think of first, you think you have a choice. You know, when you think about love, I choose Susan. She is my first love. The rest of y'all are second, third, fourth, fifth. Six, seven. No, you're not that far down. You're not that far down. But you think you do. When you think about love, you think, oh, I got a choice. You know what? When it comes to loving God, you don't have a choice if you're a follower of Christ. It goes all the way back to the Old Testament that says, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Funny enough, I don't have a choice to love God. But why in the world would I in the first place? Because we love Him because He first loved us. You can't help but love God when you know God. But the fact of the matter is that you can get very, very distracted by situations of life. And may I remind you this morning, do not lose your first love. As a matter of fact, pursue this life-dominating value. Lord, I love You. And what does that mean? I will, because I love You, I have a relationship with You, I trust You, I will follow You, I am puzzled, I need Your help. Possibly that's true, but nonetheless, it doesn't stop the fact that I love You with my heart, my soul, my mind, my strength. Do that. I ask you to. I beg you to. I need that. First love. And the second thing, the second first, if there is such a thing. First word. First will. We wonder now what God's will is for us. Many of you are struggling with that. I understand. I do. I understand. What do we do now, God? What do we do now? And so we live in this waiting game. And who anybody like to wait? Anybody help? Are there others? I don't see the first hand. Nobody here either just don't like raising your hands because you'll be called out, or you just don't like it. We don't like to wait. But here we are waiting and seeking and things like that. But here's the human weakness that happens is this: we sometimes can get this illusion that some days God is going to drop this mystical will onto our doorstep while we're waiting. Because we're just waiting. And all the while, time is going on, and all the while, there is a Word of God, and there is a Spirit of God, and there is a vision and a purpose of God, and a will of God that has already been revealed to you and to me. And I want to encourage you this morning, please listen, don't live with that illusion that God's going to drop His will into your lap. So I'm just going to wait here. I'm not going to do anything, God, until I'm just going to wait until somehow You give me something, and all of a sudden, bingo, I understand now what I'm supposed to do. But rather, His Word and His will that have been revealed to you happen. All those disciplines of Scripture, they happen. I'm memorizing, and I won't try to quote it to you this morning because my brain won't let me, but I'm memorizing chapter 2 of Philippians, and it's very apropos because it says, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than himself. Let each of you look not on your own interest, but unto the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man or appearance, he humbled himself and became obedient, even to the point of death, the death of the cross. God has highly exalted him, therefore, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things on the earth and things under the earth. Every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain nor labored in vain. What a great passage. We follow the one who excels all things temporary. He excels all things temporary. He knows eternal. Follow Him. He has told you how, through His Word. Step to the drumbeat of first word, first will. Lord, I will do that. I am more concerned about Your will, your revealed will. Guess what happens? If you will follow God's revealed will, listen, I don't care what your issue is. If you will follow God's revealed will, the unrevealed part that you don't know and that you're waiting for, it'll come. It'll come. And listen, you have plenty of things to do in the revealed will side that you won't get bored waiting. There is a lot to do in God's Jesus said it so well in Matthew 6:33. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and what? All these things will be added to you. It'll come. It'll come. I trust God for that. It's really, really true. Things change. We came here. We were established. We grew. We shrank. We grew. We shrank. We abounded. And today we close. But the one thing that remains the same, even after this lampstand won't be there, But one thing remains the same, even from everlasting to everlasting. Thou art God. Do the first things first. First love. First word. First will. Father, I thank you. I thank you so much for the privilege today to address such a beautiful people. A people that have thrilled my heart. A people that have, particularly this people, sitting in this room right now, who have committed themselves for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, to love and to cherish. Lord, you have given these people a grit and a gut, and we have done your work. We have been a legitimate lampstand. Eternity will show. And those that eternity, Lord, I realize again, and I think all of us will say amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you for what you've done. Father, I pray this morning that we could be done this day with a sense of sober joy in the reality that God has done a work and we look forward to what He'll do tomorrow. Because we trust you. You are our first love. Because we'll obey you. You are the first word. Your will be first. Thank you, Jesus. And in prayer, I just want to tell you folks right now that if you want to make this preacher happy, you will grab those words. You'll invest yourself. You're still here. The revealed will is you're still alive. Serve Him. Love Him. Live in Him. I will too. Bless you, Lord. Bless your name. Bless your Son. Bless this church. In Jesus' name, amen.